Father, we thank you so much for tonight. And Lord, we open our heart to your kindness and your grace. Lord, we're overwhelmed by your goodness towards us. You have captured our affections in a way that no one else could. And so, Lord, we yield our heart to a good God, one who loves us and one who hung on a cross, was our substitute, was buried, and then on the third day rose again. And so, Lord, we come to pause and reflect upon your work on the cross, and we pray that you would fill our hearts with your grace and your kindness tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, you endured my pain. Savior, you bore all my shame, all because of your love. Maker of the universe, broken for the sins of the earth, all because of your love. All because of your love. Because of your cross, my debt is paid. Because of your blood, my sins are washed away. Now all of my
sins.
crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain. Sinner sorry and wrecked by the fall. And cleanse your heart and soul in the fountain that flows for you. Changed forever when you paid for my sins on the cross, Lord. We come here today to reflect and to remember the cross, that you atoned for our sins once and for all, that you delivered us from the hand of death and gave us life everlasting. Amen. Lord, we just bask in your presence tonight, Lord. We ask you to just fill this place, Lord. Holy Spirit, come and make yourself known to those who don't know you tonight.
Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember, redemption's hill where your blood was spilled for my everything I want, held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Sing it out. Bring me, Lord, I lay me down. And rid me of myself. Lead me,
Amen. You can have a seat tonight. Well, if this is your first time, I want to say welcome to Calvary Chapel. If you are going to join us on Easter Sunday morning, if you come here, enjoy yourself. So we'll be over at Chelmsford High School at the Performing Arts Center, and we have one service on Easter Sunday morning, and that's going to be at 10 o'clock. And so we hope that if you don't have a place to go on Sunday, that you would come and be with us. And my understanding is that we have like, 50, 75 nice lilies that will need to find a home after our service. So if that encourages you to sit up front, first come, first serve. So, but we're glad you're here tonight. And if you have your Bibles, if you'd open up to Luke chapter 23 tonight, we're going to take a look at just a few verses and then make application. If you happen to need a Bible, one of these good guys will be glad to let you borrow one of ours, or if you'd like to follow along in the ESV, which is the translation that I used to teach from, you can help yourself. Thanks, Paul. And I know we have some of our kind of older grammar school kids with us kind of for the first time, so I want to say welcome to them. Those young men and women, glad you're with us. Great. Well, if I had to ask you a question to begin with tonight, if I had to ask you, what were the words that Jesus spoke on the cross? I think every one of us would be able to say his last words. Father, how does it go? Father, into thy hands, I'll help the other ones that are a little slow. Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. The rest of you didn't go to Sunday school. So I'm with you, neither did I. So I've had to learn, as I've had to learn from my own children. When my children were going to Sunday school, I was learning some of the same stories that I never learned growing up. But the last words of Jesus are pretty much well known. You might remember some of the other words that Jesus spoke when he spoke to John and his mother. Jesus' great concern for Mary. But the question really is, can you remember the first words that Jesus spoke when he went on the cross? And really that's kind of what we're going to be looking at tonight, is what were those first words that Jesus spoke on the cross, and then make some application of those words to our life. And so let's pray, and then we'll read our scripture. Well, Father, we thank you for tonight. And Lord, we just pause and reflect upon your goodness towards us. And as we study your word a bit, we pray, Lord, that we would leave here very different than when we come in. And that things that may have wounded our heart or kept us from moving closer to you, that those things could be removed tonight. And that we could be closer to you and have greater passion for Christ, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so what were his first words? Well, we look at Luke chapter 23, and we look at a couple of verses 32 through 34. And the text says this, "And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left." And Jesus said this, these were his first words when he was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, forgive them." And that's the greatest, I think, blessing that you could take away from here tonight, is that if you could understand just these simple truths, that God loves you, and that he has a way for you to experience forgiveness in your relationship with him. But there's also some principles that we'll look at tonight as we move through our text, there's also some principles that that if we're really, how can we put this? If we have courage tonight, that we could perhaps forgive someone that has hurt us, someone that is keeping us in a place that we're kind of all caught up in knots. I think in life, it doesn't take much long to live in life to know that you can't get through much of life without someone kind of wounding you or hurting you. And the thing that lets us go on in life is the ability to forgive people. And when we look at Jesus, Jesus said to do that, you know. And when we look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus said this. He said, "You've heard that it is written to love your neighbor," right? And then what does he say? The Old Testament. Hate your enemy. But he says, I'm going to tell you something else. He's going to say to love your enemy and to pray for those that persecute you. And so Jesus, this was the message that Jesus preached. He said to love your enemies and to pray for those who persecute you. And it was totally revolutionary in his day. And what we see in the ministry of Jesus, not only did he preach it, but he lived it. And he serves as an example for us. If you would, in your Bibles, come with me to the first text on our slide. It's really 1 Peter. Come there with me. And see that this aspect of forgiveness is something that Jesus preached it. He modeled it for us. We see the testimony that's in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. It says this, Jesus committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. So he was that perfect sacrifice. He was that perfect substitute for us. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten. And here's the operative, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. If we're going to move on in our life, it's looking at Christ and all that he did for us on the cross. Looking at Christ and how he forgave those who brought him to the cross. In life, it's that way. We need to let go of what people have done to us so that we can go on and accomplish all the things that God has for our life. I speak to the young 20s that are in my midst, because I was in your place one time long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away. But in order for you to become mature, in order for you to become fully an adult, you got to get to that place where you let your parents go, where you forgive them, and you let them off the hook in a sense. And if you'll do that tonight, if you'll let them off the hook, if you'll forgive them, what you're going to find is grace for them. You're going to find a place to move on in your life. And I think anyone that's lived a little bit of life can give another illustration about how you forgave someone and it made all the difference in your life. Jesus models for that. If we could turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, if you would for a minute, and look at, say, verse 18, we see the depth of his forgiveness, which helps us to understand that forgiveness is made possible through the cross. It says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, but that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, being made alive in the spirit." And see, the cross makes forgiveness possible. It is that intervention in time and space, intervention in humanity that Christ came and made it possible that we could receive forgiveness from the Father. Come with me to 1 John, if you would. Take a look at a key verse and understanding the depth of this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. He says, "He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." In this world, with this word propitiation, holasimos, means that he was the atonement for our sins. And so when we look at forgiveness, they're the first words that Jesus spoke from the cross. They help us to understand what it looks like to forgive someone even in the most difficult places of life. And Jesus models that for us for a purpose, that we could live a life of forgiveness. That not only could we receive forgiveness, but that we could also give forgiveness. When we look at how to receive forgiveness, there's a simple verse, 1 John 1:8-9. It says that if you confess your sins, right? If you go before God and you confess your sins, that he will forgive your sins and cleanse you from what? All unrighteousness. But all you have to do is what? Confess. And then Psalm 103:12, he says, if you'll do that, he'll cast your sins as fathers the... Oh, you guys are great. You guys could do this, right? You could. Some ladies just said, yeah, I could. Yeah, well, come on right up here. And then in Matthew 6:14-15, you see the freedom that we have from forgiveness, right? That if we will forgive people, our Heavenly Father forgives us. And then you see the negative of that in this verse. If we don't forgive, we find ourselves in bondage. And that's the modeling and what Jesus does for our lives. And then two other points. And then we get to do that in the lives of others. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. He's made us a minister of reconciliation, right? So the same thing he did on the cross, forgiven our sins. 1 John 1:8-9, the same thing that when we confess our sins, Jesus says, that's our ministry to one another, to forgive one another. Colossians 3:13, and that's, oh, come there, it's such an important text. Come there with me to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verse 12. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13 is for parents who have teenagers. Bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, doing what? Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And so the work on the cross, Jesus' first words, Father, forgive them. And what Jesus offers to us is a way back to God. That if we'll confess our sins, he's going to receive us, he's going to forgive our sins, and he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can be his kids and enjoy his presence. For other people, that's the ministry he's given us, to be able to be ministers of reconciliation, that we can go to others and offer them the same thing that we've received. There's a psalm that we'll close with tonight. And it's kind of a prayer. It's a prayer of David. And David says this in Psalm 25:6-7. He says, remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. For they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me. For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. And that's very much what I'd like you to leave with here tonight. Don't leave just yet, though. But that you'd leave with a sense of God's goodness, that you'd leave here tonight with a sense that Jesus Christ on the cross made it possible for us to have a way back to God. And that through the cross, when we repent of our sins and confess our sins to him, he forgives our sins, casts them as far as the east is from the west, and he doesn't remember them anymore. We do more remembering than God does, by the way. Because when he forgives our sins, they're gone, and he leaves them under the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the ministry that we have to one another, is to be able to offer that same grace, same mercy that we receive from Christ. We get to offer that to one another. We're going to close our service tonight by receiving the Lord's table. But what I found in church life is that it's a little bit more than coming in and being attentive, although I appreciate how attentive you've been to the teaching tonight. It's a little bit more than that, isn't it? It's about having an encounter with God. It's about, in some ways, taking a risk and putting our heart out there and letting him do a work in our heart that only he can do. And so I'm going to offer you an opportunity to be kind of risky, in a sense. I'm going to offer you an opportunity to do that. Let me explain how that's going to happen. I'm going to ask you to break up into little groups, you know. If you've got a huge family of 16 people, that'll be your group, so. But, you know, I'm going to ask you to break up into little groups just for a few minutes. And there'll be a bold person in your group, I guarantee it. If not, I'll send Alex Knight over to your group. And here's what I want you to do. I just want you to, that if God's spoken to you tonight, and you need to forgive someone, then take an opportunity and do that. For some of you, it's going to be, as an act of my will, I release that scoundrel of to you, Lord. And I'm just going to leave him in your hands, but I forgive that person. And maybe you don't even need to mention the person's name. But I want you to be free. And I want you to walk out of here tonight free from the chains of holding unforgiveness in your heart towards someone. And if you'll take that risk, here's what God's going to do. He's going to replace those chains with joy. He's going to replace the bondage with freedom. He's going to replace the depression that brings in your life. He's going to break the chains of that to even your spouse will go, wow, you're different. And the Holy Spirit will come and give you a passion and a hunger for Christ when you do that. Because he'll come and he'll heal your heart. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. I'm going to ask Natasha and the guys to come back. And when you're done, here's this. When you're done praying in your small group, then come and receive the table. How's that sound? If you take all night doing it, you'll be here by yourself. So exercise wisdom. And note this about confessing your sins. You don't need to tell us the person's name. You don't. God knows it. But you do need to verbalize it. And if you get little kids in your group and it's something that is like really, just inappropriate, then go to another group. I'll tell you what, if you want me to pray for you, I'll sit up here by myself. And if you want to come and let me pray for you, because it's you need that, then I'll be available for you tonight to pray for you. But I want you to go out of here free, with joy in your heart, and receive the Lord's table, maybe for the first time in a long time, the right way. How's that? So, all right. Break up into small groups. We'll have the band come. I'll come and bless the elements in a few minutes, but you go and you pray with your little groups just for a couple minutes. Can you do that? Have courage. Take a deep breath. It's all right, New Englanders. It's all right. So go ahead and do that. Pray for one another. Then we'll have the band come. We'll pray for the elements in a moment. But let God minister to your hearts tonight. Thank you.
cannot become familiar with its marvelous good news, but live my life with it always in my view. Oh, at the foot of the cross, Lord, I bow down and worship, overcome by so great. Lord, I would fix my eyes, for it always will remind me of His truth. My iniquity seems endless, yet great is still Your grace, and I will glory in the cross throughout the ages. Please join me in standing as we sing this last worship song. And if you're still taking communion, just sing along as you're walking up to the table. Thank You for the cross. Thank You, Lord, for drawing me. You've been so good.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace. 'Twas grace that tore my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace be! I first believed. The Lord has promised. The Lord has promised good to me. His word. Sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. He will be
Isn't God good in his presence in our midst? It encourages us and makes us just want to run to him. And that's what Christianity and loving Jesus and church life is all about. It's about having a passion for him that will really go after him and pursue him. And I think we've done that tonight. And I think he's pleased with us. And so let me pray for you as we go tonight and ask the Lord to bless you. Father, we thank you for stirring our hearts towards you tonight. It's great, Lord. It satisfies us. All the things that attract us in this world don't compare to your beauty. And we love you, Lord. We want all that you have for us, this side of heaven, all of your grace, all of your kindness, all of your power working through hearts of faith. And so, Lord, bless us as we continue to walk in the forgiveness that we've received from Christ and the joy that that brings us, we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.